It's gut check time for the New York Giants as we take a look at a coach's words, a team's plan of action, injuries, and much more on today's Locked On Giants episode, coming your way next.
You are Locked On Giants, your daily New York Giants podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Today's episode of the Locked On Giants podcast is brought to you by BetOnline. BetOnline has you covered this season with more props, odds, and lines than ever before. BetOnline, where the games start. Hello, New York Giant fans, and welcome to another edition of the Locked On Giants podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast family, your team every day. I'm Patricia Traina, your host. Happy Wednesday to everybody. We are in the middle of the week, the hump week of Philly week. Actually, it's the start of Philly week for the Giants because they get started with practice today, but it is Philly week and a big game coming up. And on today's Locked On Giants podcast, we're going to talk about head coach Brian Daboll's words, or lack thereof words, I should say. Then we're going to talk a little bit about gut check time for this Giants team, specific to this game against the Philadelphia Eagles coming up on Sunday at MetLife Stadium. And then we'll wrap things up with a look at the injury situation, what we know about it as of this recording. And this recording is being made on Tuesday evening. So I'll tell you what I know, what I anticipate is going to happen, and how it potentially is going to affect Sunday's game. So full lineup on today's show. Happy to have you with us. Thank you for making us your first listen of the day, or if watching on YouTube, your first watch of the day. Let us get right into it. Now, I want to start off by talking about Coach Brian Daboll's words from his Monday press conference with the reporters, the conference done via Zoom. And Daboll was asked point blank, do you have confidence in the quarterback and in the offense and so on and so forth, and Mike Kafka? And of course, you know, what was he going to say, folks? Was he going to sit there and say, no, I don't have confidence in the offense, you know, because I'm down to my sixth and seventh string receivers, and because my offensive line has been mixed up, you know, due to injuries, because my quarterback can't really, you know, unleash the long ball, which is one of his strengths. What was he going to say? Seriously, was he going to sit there and say, oh, you know, I don't have confidence in Mike Kafka for calling the plays. You know, some of the calls he's made have been, you know, head scratchers. He wasn't going to say all that. And anybody who was thinking that he would admit to that, they were just, you know, they were hooking up to fool's gold there, because that's not who Daboll is. That's not what he's been about. And to expect him to say anything different, you know, I get it. The question had to be asked, but to get him to say anything different just wasn't going to happen. Now, there is an old saying, action speaks louder than words. And, you know, you look at the Giants, you look at the offense in particular, Daboll knows what the shortcomings of that team are. All right. He knows that his receiving core, that, you know, most of the guys on that receiving core that are their one, two, and three receivers, they weren't even on the roster. If you think about it, you know, a while ago, Isaiah Hodgins was a late season add. You know, Marcus Johnson is somebody that they added from the practice squad after he was signed after the season. Richie James was with them from the start, but he probably wasn't projected to be like a number one or number two. Darius Slayton was a guy that, gosh, you know, you think back to September, there were questions as to whether or not he'd even be here if he didn't take a salary cut, I should say. He probably wouldn't even be on this roster. So that being said, you know, you go back and you kind of look at how the Giants progressed in the spring and in the summer. Who did Daniel Jones have to throw to? Who was he able to build chemistry up with? Now, if you go back to the spring, remember Kenny Golladay, Sterling Shepard, and Kadarius Toney, who were the receivers one, two, and three, they weren't available because of, you know, their respective injuries. In the summertime, Shep came back. You know, Tony had the hamstring issues, which put him in and out of practice. And Galladay, you know, when he was out there, you never knew what you were going to get from Galladay. So that kind of forced Daniel Jones to go to the Richie Jameses of the world, the David Sillses of the world, you know, the Darius Slaytons of the world. And Slayton, if you remember, he wasn't even active for the first game. So you look at this offense, and the passing game is kind of based on the quarterback and the receivers building up that camaraderie, that trust, where the quarterback can read the receiver. Where is he going to be? Is he going to make his break at a certain point? You know, what body language symbols is he going to give off to help the quarterback decide when to release the ball? So these are all little nuances that, just because of this rotation brought about by injury and performance, and in the case of Tony and the trade, Daniel Jones has never had an opportunity to really build that rapport with some of these guys. Now it's starting to come together with some of the guys. You know, you look at Jones and Slayton, that rapport has kind of always been there. So the others, not so much so. So when we look at the passing game, and if you remember a while back, I said on this show that I thought the running game was going to have to carry this offense until the passing game kind of fell into place. Folks, that is still the case to this day. And I also said that if teams ever figured out how to stop the Giants running game, they would be in trouble. That is the case to this day. You know, I didn't want to be right on that one, but that has been the situation. So anyway, injuries have messed with chemistry, and not just with receivers. You could talk about the offensive line. You've got guys who have come in and out of the lineup. You know, how many left guards have the Giants had? They started with Shane Lemieux, then it was Ben Bredesen, and then Joshua Zudu. Then most recently, I think Nick Gates went in there. I think Jack Anderson might have played left guard at one point. So they've had about five different left guards, two different centers that I know of. Glowinski's been consistent. You know, right tackle, Evan Neal missed time, so they've had a couple of different left right tackles. Andrew Thomas has been consistent. That chemistry has been messed up. And, you know, the offensive linemen, when I asked them about that, they all say the same thing. We're in this meetings together. We all, you know, we get practice reps, so on and so forth. Okay, I get it. But here's the thing. Are they getting practice reps with each other, with the configuration that actually goes out there on Sunday? My guess is probably not a whole lot of reps, if any, because if you don't know, for example, that a guy's going to be ready to play on Sunday, how are you supposed to get reps with him? All right. Now, yes, they sit in meetings and they learn the signals and the code words and all that stuff. Great. But there's something to be said for the unspoken communication amongst offensive linemen. And that has been a problem with, you know, if you watch the tape, sometimes you'll see guys on dual blocks where a guy will pass another guy off to, you know, will pass a defender off to another guy. And there's just, you know, a miscommunication as to what needs to be done. And that happens, you know, in the interior specifically. So, you know, they could sit there and say, oh, we're in meetings and reps and all they want. It's just, it's not the same if you're not getting the reps with the guys you're going out there on Sunday with. And this also applies to the run blocking. You know, people ask me, you know, what's the biggest factor in the run blocking? What has happened with the run blocking? And I said it on yesterday's show, I had some stats for you. The second level blocking hasn't been very good. The Giants are ranked near the bottom of average yards at the second level, that per Football Outsiders. So if you're not getting blocks, clean blocks at the second level, then guess what? Your running back is going to be either stuffed or he's going to have a minimal game. And your running game's just not going to be explosive. It's not going to produce 100 yards every time. And I think there was a stat where the Giants are more successful when they run for over 100 yards as a group, as opposed to when they don't. I think it has to do with wins and losses. I forget what the stat is, but I know they've lost more games when they haven't run for at least 100 yards versus when they have. So that's an important stat. Pass rush is another thing I want to talk about with this team. The pass rush, when you just have one guy who's capable of disrupting on a consistent basis, teams are going to accommodate. I mean, they're going to adjust and they're going to compensate for that one guy. So, for example, Kayvon Thibodeau has been out there pretty much. Leonard Williams has missed some time with injuries. Thibodeau is a guy that, you know, he's starting to hit his stride, but in the beginning, teams were basically making him a non-factor. Now you add back Azeez Ojulari. Now it's a pick your poison type of deal. All right. If Leonard Williams can play, and we'll talk a little bit more about Leonard Williams a little later on in the show. Now you've got three legitimate pass rushers out there at minimum. All right. And then, you know, if Wink decides to throw in a Jihad Ward or, you know, do some creative blitzing and stuff, now you've increased your arsenal. And if that pass rush can get to the quarterback, that will help the depleted secondary, which is another problem the Giants have had. So I talk about all this because the moral of the story here, folks, is the Giants, they've had injuries. And I know some of you are like, well, why don't they just solve the injury problem? If there was one answer, folks, I think they would have solved it. You know, they're going to supposedly change the turf next year. Great. But what about the injuries that happen on grass, on the practice field? What about the illnesses that pop up that get reported as an injury, but aren't technically an injury? What about the injuries that take place outside of MetLife Stadium? There's got to be something in the conditioning aspect of it. What that is, I don't know. But I know that they're going to sit down and they're going to look at all that because every year this team just gets decimated by injuries and it affects the chemistry. And, you know, look, if the team is not deep enough, and I think we can all agree that this team, because not because, you know, Joe Shane didn't try, he inherited a bad cap situation, but this team was not deep enough at certain spots. And when the injuries started coming, so too did the tough times. So get through the rest of the season, whether it's a playoff berth or not. And I still have my doubts as to whether or not they're going to actually hold on to a playoff spot. I hope they do, but I don't know if they necessarily have the firepower to cross the finish line. And just take a healthy cap situation next year and a healthy draft class. Get some guys back off the injury list and just change stuff up to keep these guys on the field and get some more talent where you are lacking. That's what this team needs to do. And just to kind of wrap up my thoughts on this particular topic here, Dable knows what he has. He knows what he doesn't have. He's not going to throw anybody under the bus, but actions speak louder than words. So when you don't see a whole lot of deep balls being thrown by Daniel Jones, probably that's a combination of, okay, the receivers maybe can't execute that particular type of, you know, pass. Maybe the offensive line can't hold its block long enough for Daniel Jones to make that kind of pass. So there are reasons why we're seeing things or why we're not seeing things. And Dable's not going to come out and say that. He's not going to say what the reasons are. Folks, we are all, I'd like to think we are all intelligent enough. We all watch the games. We can all draw our own conclusions. And those are the conclusions I've come to with regards to the offense and the state of the team in general. They're just lacking in certain areas right now to compensate for any losses. That will get better. I am fairly confident that will get better. All right, coming up, we're going to talk about gut check time for this Giant team as it pertains to the Philadelphia Eagles who come into MetLife Stadium on Sunday. It is Philly week, usually a very interesting week, at least historically. It's always been a historically interestingly, when the Eagles come to town to face the Giants, we're going to talk about that coming up. Today's Locked On Giants podcast is brought to you by Turo. Turo is the world's largest car sharing marketplace. With Turo, you can book any car you want, wherever you want it, from a community of local hosts. Browse a huge selection of vehicles for just about any occasion or budget across the US, UK, Canada, and coming soon to Australia. Whether you're looking for a luxury car for a special event or something to get you from point A to point B, or maybe you just want to test drive a particular model before making an investment, Turo's wide selection can deliver. And speaking of delivering, many Turo hosts can even deliver the car right to you. Every trip is backed by liability insurance. Terms and conditions and exclusions apply. Forget boring car rentals and find your drive at Turo.com. Hey, Giant fans, thanks so much for making the Locked On Giants podcast your first listen today. For your second listen, check out Locked On Sports Today. From the games that matter the most to the biggest stories in sports, go beyond the scoreboard and behind the scenes with local experts and insights only Locked On can provide. Locked On Sports Today, available on this app, YouTube, and wherever you get your podcasts. All right, Giant fans, welcome back to the Locked On Giants podcast. It is a Wednesday show, December 7th. It is Philly week, always an interesting week. And I am Patricia Traynor, your host. Tomorrow on the Locked On Giants podcast, I'll have Gino Camilleri, co-host of Locked On Eagles. Gino and I usually do a pretty good show every year. He does the crossover with me. So tomorrow's show should be interesting, to say the least. No bitterness there between me and Gino. We're good buddies. So, you know, got to keep it real here at the Locked On Podcast Network. All right. In this segment, I want to talk about gut check time for this New York Giants team. Now, I'm going to go back to last week. The Giants, as we all know, tied the Washington Commanders 2020. Not a loss. It's not a win. It's a tie. But the mood in the locker room after the game was very deflated. It was almost as though, you know, the feeling was, gee, we went through this whole week of preparation. We went through 70 minutes of football, and we have nothing to show for it. And I can understand that frustration. You know, it's like when you put your heart and soul into something and then you have nothing to show for it at the end of it. It can be deflating. And I would say at this point, one of my biggest concerns with this team is how will they respond coming off that tie? You know, to come off of a loss is one thing. You know, I've seen this team come off of a loss this year saying, oh, we didn't make enough plays. We did this to ourselves. And they get kind of angry about it. And then they kind of try and do something about it. Little different feeling I got, you know, after last week's game. So the first thing I want to see from this Giant team is how do they respond? How do they rebound? How are they going to practice this week? Are they going to practice with energy, or are they going to go through the motions? They better practice with energy because they still have their control in their destiny. All right. They still have control of their destiny. And they cannot get so deflated to where, you know, they left it all on the field last week against Washington, and now they have nothing left to give against Philly. I mean, Philly, this is a team that's had their number for quite a number of years. And I know it's a new regime, a new team and whatnot, but look at the history here. Have some pride and say, look, enough is enough, Eagles. You're coming to our house. You're gonna be in for a fight. Don't be intimidated by the record. Don't be intimidated by the fact that the Eagles probably have the better roster, a deeper roster. Just go out there, Giants, and just punch them in the mouth and fight. Turn this into a street brawl like only the Giants can. And if they don't come out with that energy, if they come out flat, oh gosh, we're going to be in for a long afternoon on Sunday. Now, here's the other thing. People are asking me, do I think the Giants can beat the Eagles? And look, I'm not going to lie to you. I would say that the Giants have a very uphill battle to beat the Eagles. I don't know that they could do it. But that being said, what I want to see from the Giants is, even if they don't beat the Eagles, stand toe to toe with them. Don't just, you know, let them run all over you. You know, don't let them, you know, dominate you the way the Cowboys dominated the Colts the other day. Stand toe to toe. Now, you're probably saying, well, what's the good of that? It's still, it would still be a loss at the end of the day. But I always go back to 2007 when the Giants played the Patriots in the final game of the season, and they lost that game. But they stood toe to toe with the Patriots, and that gave them confidence that carried over into the postseason. So even though, you know, ideally you want to come out with a win, and by the way, any given Sunday, you know, the games aren't played on paper, they're played on the field. So Washington beat Philadelphia. The Giants could conceivably beat Philadelphia. You know, it's obvious, not the odds aren't obviously high, but you can't say that it's out of the question. But stand toe to toe with them. Sometimes the jolt of knowing that you're standing toe to toe with one of the best teams in the league, and the Eagles are, they're up there. Let's give them the credit that they deserve. Sometimes that jolt can work wonders for the rest of the campaign. And here's the thing now, the Giants, after that, they have a big rematch against Washington on Sunday night. Yeah, I'm not a fan of Sunday night football or night games in general, but it's still, it's a big rematch. Then because of that flex, that game being flexed into Sunday night, the Giants now have a little shorter work week the following week, because I believe they play Minnesota on Saturday. So you want to get on a roll. You want to get yourself right. You want to get that confidence up so that you can finish the season strong. The Giants, as I see it, if they can get another 3 wins, I think they'll be in the playoffs regardless. 2 wins, I think, is calling it close. I really do, because, you know, Washington's nipping at their heels, as is Seattle. So I'd like to see at least 3 wins. Do I think they can happen? Well, they should. You know, if you look at the rest of the schedule, they got Philly twice. If they could somehow split with Philly, I'd be happy. I don't know that that will happen, though. I think they should be able to get the Colts. I think they should be able to keep it close, if not top the Commanders. And Minnesota, that would be my toss-up there. That one would be, I think, a win that maybe if you were putting money down, maybe you would consider that game. So 3 wins out of these last 5, I think, are doable. Going to be an uphill battle, but it's definitely something that's doable. So, you know, the confidence, that's the biggest X factor for the Giants. Stand toe to toe with Philly, even if you lose, as long as it's not a massive blowout. You know, if it's by a field goal or a touchdown, you know, 1-score game, that to me should be enough to get them into, you know, into the right frame of mind. It's a little different than when they tied against the Commanders, because that was a game, the Giants had that game and they kind of let it slip away. And, you know, they could complain about the officiating and whatnot. We could complain about the officiating every week if we wanted to. But it is what it is. You've got to make the plays so that the officiating doesn't come into play. And the Giants just didn't do it. The drop pass by Slayton. I mean, you know, the penalty by Feliciano, the missed field goal at the end there. The inability to get 5 yards closer. I mean, you name it. There were any number of opportunities where the Giants could have put themselves in position to win, and they didn't. Just play toe-to-toe with the Eagles. Regain your confidence, regain your swagger, regain your faith in what you're doing, and see what happens at the end of the day. Maybe good things will happen. All right, coming up next, folks, we're going to talk a little bit about injuries. I'm going to tell you what I know and what I'm anticipating for the Giants injury that's coming up next. And now a word from our sponsor, BetOnline. BetOnline is your number one source for football betting info this season. Find all the latest player developments, team matchups, news, podcasts, and in-depth articles and analysis on every game, both college and NFL. And BetOnline doesn't stop there. It's your continued source for all your sports wagering information with live betting and up-to-the-minute scores for every sport. BetOnline is the fastest and easiest way to check in on all your favorite games and events, including the NBA, NHL, MMA, boxing, and golf. Head to BetOnline today or use your mobile device to learn more. BetOnline, where the games start. Welcome back, everybody, to the Locked On Giants podcast. I'm your host, Patricia Traina. And in this segment, I'm going to tell you what I know at this point about the Giants injury situation, what I am anticipating, and the one injury that I'm really concerned with. And you know, actually, I'm concerned about all of them, but there's one in particular that I'm concerned with. So the obvious ones that I get asked about a lot, Adoree Jackson and Xavier McKinney, what is the status with them? My guess at this point, and again, as a reminder, I'm taping this on Tuesday night. I have not seen the Giants injury report. The hope is that Adoree is going to be limited this week. Start getting him back into the fold, if you will. If he can go and be limited and start working his way back up to full strength, I think there is a good possibility he could be ready for Washington. I don't know that he'll be ready this week, which would be kind of a shame considering the Eagles receivers. But, you know, if you go with the mindset that the Giants are probably not going to beat the Eagles and that the Washington game is maybe a little bit more important in that, you know, Washington is nipping at their heels, whereas the Giants and the Eagles, there's a lot of separation between them. You probably want to have Jackson back for the Washington game at the very minimum. If you get him back for Philly, great, but Washington should be the target, I think. Xavier McKinney, now this is an interesting one. I have heard mixed opinions on whether or not he's going to be back. And Dable, you know, in his conversation with the media on Monday, was asked if putting a club on McKinney's, you know, broken hand, it was an option. And he said he wasn't. Now, that to me, you know, maybe I'm just reading in between the lines and maybe I'm interpreting this all, you know, the wrong way. But a club, you would think, would protect the hand pretty well if it was, you know, stable enough. But even if you put the hand in a club, there's still going to be contact. There's still going to be, you know, hits and stuff. And it just makes me wonder if that hand is stable enough at this point to where they just don't want to risk any kind of contact that would potentially mess up the surgery or the pins or whatever it is he's got in his hand to heal everything up. So I don't think McKinney's going to be ready for this week. Will he be ready for next week? I got to see what happens this week. I don't know that he's going to practice this week. I've got to see if maybe I can run into him and kind of get a feel for where things are at. I would say at this point, if I had to put a percentage on it, and you guys know how I hate to do percentages because I'm a yes or no person, but I would say at this stage, McKinney probably has a 10% chance of being ready for Washington next week. Now that is subject to change. Again, I'm recording this on a Tuesday night. Haven't seen an injury report. Haven't been in the locker room yet for the week. So that is subject to change, that percentage. It could potentially go up if I can see for myself where things are at with that hand and also if he does any practicing, which I don't know that he's going to do this week. Again, if a club is not an option, and I don't know how, I think it would be kind of hard for a defensive back to play with a club. If that's not an option, then I would say probably at least, you know, I would think Washington is a long shot at this point, but that is subject to change. The other injury a lot of people ask me about is Ben Bredesen. And I think Bredesen's return from IR is going to depend on what happens with Joshua Zudu, who has the neck injury. If Zudu is getting better, then Bredesen, I think they'll just, you know, they'll go. I think they can go another week with him, another week or two maybe, before they have to make a decision with him. If Izudo's neck is such that they feel they have to shut him down to be on the safe side, then I could see that move being made. So that's where I kind of see that with the offensive line. The injury that I'm concerned about is that of to Leonard Williams. Now, Leonard Williams left last week's game with a neck injury. I think it was in the third quarter he left the game. He was spotted on the sideline on the trainer's table. They were working his neck, massaging it, manipulating it, doing all kinds of things to try and get him back on his feet. And I don't think he returned to the game. Now, here's why I am concerned about that injury. Leonard Williams is a two-way player for the Giants defense. All right, so let's talk about the run. All right. The Eagles are coming into this game with, I believe, the fifth best rushing attack in the league, 154.6 yards per game average rushing. Leonard Williams, out of the Giants run defenders who have played the majority of the snaps against the run this year, has, according to Pro Football Focus, the best run stop percentage of any of the defensive players on the team. His run stop percentage is 8.4%, which means he's getting stops. You want Leonard Williams on the field if you're facing a good running game, which the Eagles have. All right. So will Leonard be on the field? I got to think that he's going to do everything he can to be on the field. But again, let's see what the practice report says and how much he's able to do during the week. Let's talk now about the pass rush and Leonard Williams' effect on the pass rush. Even though the Giants have Azeez Ojulari back, they have Kayvon Thibodeau, which, as I mentioned earlier, big help. Having Leonard Williams to help push that pocket with Dexter Lawrence, huge. Eagles quarterback Jalen Hurts has completed 43.8% of his pass attempts when under pressure. Amongst quarterbacks who have taken at least 106 minimum dropbacks, that percentage is the third lowest in the NFL. So no surprise here, folks. You stop the run, you force Hurts to throw, you know, you try and dictate his tempo rather than let him, you know, dictate it to you, and you give yourself a fighting chance. Maybe controlling that offense. So Leonard Williams, that's a big injury and one that I'm very curious to see whether or not he's going to be able to make it back. Now, there are other guys, obviously, who are going to show up on the injury report from last week. You know, they had some guys that were questionable, who had injuries. Cordell Flott. I know Richie James, although Richie James played, he was on the report last week. They had a whole bunch of guys that were questionable last week, many of whom played. We will see what the new injury report looks like. And I'm sure I'll, somewhere along the line before this week is over, I'll have an update for you on where those guys stand. All right, Giant fans, that is going to do it for us here on the Locked On Giants podcast. Again, I want to thank you for tuning in, making us your first listen of the day, or if watching on YouTube, your first watch of the day. Make sure you tune in tomorrow for Crossover Thursday. Gino Camilleri of Locked On Eagles will join me, and we will break it all down and mix it up. And then I believe on Friday, we will have Locked On Giants Live. You know who? Trina, Tana, and Dog. That's right. We're going to do it again, folks. It's a tradition. We have to do it. So I'm going to confirm with the Dog and Tana if it's going to be Friday at 7:30. If it's not, those of you who watch us on YouTube, You'll see when the posting comes up. If just so you want to subscribe, click that little bell for notifications so that you know when Locked On Giants Live is dropping, because sometimes we have to do it on Thursday night because of scheduling. So, but we're going to probably do it again at some point, and I hope you'll check it out. So, all right, everybody, thanks again for tuning in. We will see you tomorrow. Have a great, great day, Giant fans.